This is lecture 23 in the Practical Ministry Skills course, Approaches to Preaching and Some Don'ts. We're taking this from chapter 14 of the Pastoring the Nuts and Bolts book. Our key verse is a kind of an interesting one from 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16. Peter says, "Our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him, speaking of these things in all of his letters. Some of his comments are hard to understand." I love that. I love that. The Apostle Peter says, you know, Paul's a great guy, but sometimes he's just hard to understand. Obviously, Peter and Paul had different approaches to preaching and teaching. And you can't say one was better than the other. You can't say one was more spiritual than the other. I mean, who are you going to choose? Which one's most spiritual, Peter or Paul? My goodness, you can't say that. There is no one correct way. I'm sure there were people who heard or read Paul's letters and said, oh, now that perfectly, I understand it now. I am so glad I read that. And there were others who said, what in the world is he talking about? And then others that read Peter's and said, oh, now I understand that. He makes that clear. That I didn't understand when Paul said it, but the way Peter said it, now that makes sense to me. And others who said, now I understood what Paul was saying, but when Peter says this, I'm just not quite sure exactly what he's trying to get across. So there's no one right way. So what I want to do today is go down some of the different tensions, if you will, the different continua of different approaches to preaching. Not because anyone is right or wrong, but because first I want you to help you kind of try to identify your own approach. And second, so you will know that other people who approach it differently, first, they're not wrong just because they do it differently. And second, you can learn from them. You may even learn to modify your approach to reach different kinds of people. So, some pastors, some preachers are very emotional in their preaching. They're all about emotion. And let me stop and say, there are certain traditions in certain denominations, in certain church cultures. The mainstream American church culture, especially on the Calvinist side of the white American church, can tend to be very intellectual, whereas Pentecostal churches of all type, but especially perhaps African-American Pentecostal churches and American pastors, can tend toward the more emotional. Just because that's the kind of church they grew up in, that's where what the preachers they listened to did, and that's the preachers they listened to did it because they grew up in the same tradition and the preachers they listened to did it, and it's kind of expected. So recognize if your denomination has a certain kind of an approach. And let me say, I'm sure that there are emotional white Presbyterians, and I have heard some very intellectual, academically rigorous African-American Pentecostals. So there are always, I wasn't trying to make a stereotype, but certain traditions tend to run in a certain kind of preaching. And so you need to be aware of how much of your preaching style has rubbed off from your tradition and how much of it is your natural way of thinking and communicating, and work all of those things together. So some are very emotional. Some are very intellectual. Nothing right or wrong about that. I think you need to recognize that your listeners, some will respond better to emotion and some will respond better to intellect. And I think with all of these, the reason I'm going through this is that it is best if you can combine, or if not combine, because sometimes they don't mix like oil and water, but at least have a bunch of little oil drops here and a bunch of little water drops here so that you can put out some emotional stuff and some intellectual stuff so that the people, different people in your congregation will hear it according to their own learning style. Because communication hasn't happened until it's been received and understood. So, some may tend to be more naturally emotional, others may tend to be more naturally intellectual. Some prefer to be prepared and spend a lot of preparation, like Carl in the comic, the cartoon that we saw last time with the chain reference habit, spending a lot of time studying and getting it all written out. And others may be prefer to be much more spontaneous and say, well, just whatever the Lord says puts on my heart when I stand up. I do believe here that there is a... I don't know if you can be too prepared. If it gets stilted, you're too prepared. If you're so prepared that there, you don't leave room for the Holy Spirit to work in your heart, that's being too prepared for the Holy Spirit to change things as you speak. That can be too prepared, but I do believe it can be... there can also be a danger of being too spontaneous, because in the sense that that can be used as a cop-out, as an excuse not to put the work of preparation in. I believe the Holy Spirit can inspire the preparation just as He can inspire the speaking at the time. But that said, I have heard people give wonderful sermons or and messages that they had no idea they were going to be called on to give. But most of the time, let me put it this way. Somebody asked me after one of my sermons how long it took me to write that sermon. And I said, 37 years. Not that I was working 37 years on that sermon, but 37 years of ministry experience, of Christian experience, was all behind writing that. And I've preached enough, and I have enough of it still in my mind that if I'm called on with 2 minutes' notice, I can get up and I can speak without something written, just because I'm remembering things that I did study and prepare beforehand. So, prepared, spontaneous, you need to find your place in that spectrum. Here's a three-pointer. Evangelism, discipleship, or exhortation. And these are kind of the points that I mentioned when I said that a sermon needs to do four different things. These kind of go along with those. Some people just naturally want all of their sermons to be evangelistic sermons. That's just the way God has wired them. That may be the situation God has put them into. That may be wonderful. But if you are the pastor of a church that has very faithful church members attend, and you know that you know them all personally, you know them all, they're all good Christians, it's the same people that come every Sunday, they don't need to hear an evangelistic sermon every Sunday. Discipleship. Some, and this is my weakness, I am strong on the discipleship, the teaching part, explaining things. There are those who naturally lean in that direction. And for me, I have to consciously remind myself to give the altar call, to give the explanation of the gospel, the evangelistic part, I have to consciously remind myself to apply it to life, give the application, and encourage people to act. There are other people, other pastors, preachers, who just focus on the exhortation. And I have heard sermons that, and I probably preached some sermons that were real big on here's what the Bible says and here's the truth, and left everybody wondering, what do I do about it? And I have also heard sermons that were very exciting and very inspiring and get up and go and the Lord's with you and this is the hour and we need to do this, and I was all excited, and then I realized, what was he saying I need to do? So it's great to naturally lean in any of those directions, but make sure that you also fill in the other parts. Okay, this is not so much a this next one, not so much a something that you have to try and get into every sermon. It's some sermons work better this way, some work better that way. And some preachers naturally tend to speak more this way or that way. And that is the difference between a narrative sermon and a linear sermon. A narrative is a story. Some sermons work best as stories. And some preachers just most naturally preach in stories. And stories can be extremely effective in getting truth across to people. And stories can just kind of naturally include the motivational, exhortational part as well as the teaching part, just in the telling of the story. That was never my personal way of doing it. I could tell stories, but it was hard for me. For me, I tend to think in outlines. The linear is this point to this point to this point to this point to this point. It's much more along the lines of what I'm doing right now as a lecture. And so there is value to that. And some preachers lean more toward one than the other. But if you, what I'm trying to say is, don't always do one. Incorporate some elements of, you know, if you tell the story, you might summarize with the points that you want the people to understand. If you're going through points, stop and illustrate important ones with stories. Some sermons are topical and some are expository. Topical means you choose a topic, a subject, a question, and you say, what does the Bible have to say about this? And you pull together all the different places, or at least some of the important places in the Bible where it talks about that issue. And it may address them in various different places. And so you go through and you say, this is an issue that a lot of people face. Here's what the Bible has to say about it. Over here it says this, and over here it says this, and over here it says this, and we can put them all together and see this. That's a topical sermon. An expository sermon says, here's a passage of the Bible called a pericope. Pericope is the phrase for a section of the Bible that all logically hangs together. It may be one verse, it may be a story, it may be a particular argument that Paul is making in one of his letters. But anyway, whatever the pericope is, whatever the section of the Bible is, you say, we're going to look today at this passage. And you go down through it and explain the different points. I kind of did that when I took you through how to strengthen yourself in the Lord from Philippians 4. And we went verse by verse by verse, and I commented on the different verses. Both are needed. Both are valuable. Again, you will naturally lean more toward one or the other, but try to not let yourself completely neglect the one that doesn't come most naturally to you. Eternal truths or current events? Well, again, we need to address both. Some pastors tend to want to focus more on one than the other. I think the best thing is whichever one you naturally tend to approach things with, use that as an intro to talking about the other. If you naturally tend to think in terms of the eternal truths, find some way to apply it to what's going on in the world today. If you naturally tend to want to start with what should be the Christian response to this thing that's happening today, and having said that, there is rarely one Christian response, but to almost anything. Good Christians can differ in their responses, but you start with this particular issue that's going on in the world, and you say, what can we learn from that? What eternal truths about the Bible can we apply to that to help us understand what's going on? Either way, we're trying to help people understand eternal truths and know how to apply them. Somebody said you should preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. And for you young folks who don't know what a newspaper is, that's before they had internet and they would write out all the news on a piece of paper. Engagement with the world or separation from it. Now those are two different, they're more have to do with your theology. And there are times and there are people. I believe in the same times God can call some people to be engaged and call other people to be separated, and neither one is disobeying God or hearing God wrong. Some pastors and churches tend to emphasize separating yourself out, to come apart from them and be separate, and just focus on the Lord and don't allow the world to drag you down. And there is value in that. There's an awful lot of value in that kind of holiness preaching if it's done right, not as escapism, but as maintaining your holiness so that then you can go back and influence the world, because God has us here. Jesus prayed, or taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus' vision statement, if you want to say it this way, and I got this from Pastor Bill Johnson, Jesus' vision statement is on earth as it is in heaven. And so the mission of the church, to a large degree, is to make earth as much like heaven as possible. And so that means to be involved in the church. So sometimes God calls some people to a separate contemplative lifestyle. Sometimes God calls some people, and sometimes the same people at different times in their lives, into an active, engaged social justice lifestyle, working to advance God's kingdom in individual hearts and in the world. So separation, those should not be opposites and they should not be either ors, but recognize what God is calling you to emphasize in any particular sermon. And I would say it's good to kind of alternate and have some of your sermons address some of these and some of your other sermons address the other side. The whole Bible or your specific message? Many pastors, I believe in most cases, God calls us to preach His whole Bible truth. Preach the whole truth of the gospel, but the gospel not just being how to get saved through Jesus, but the whole message of the Bible. Preach the full truth of the Bible. But there are other people whom God has given a specific ministry to bring a certain truth that has been perhaps neglected or misunderstood, and to just focus on bringing that truth to more and more people. I would say if you feel like God is calling you to do that, then probably your ministry should not just be to one little local congregation, because the people of the church, of any given church, should hear the whole gospel, the whole truth of the Bible. If God has given you one truth to restore to the church, then you probably need to be moving to different churches, making that available to different pastors. The danger is that all of us have the parts that we like best, and that's what we tend to focus on, or the parts that we're most comfortable, and that's what we preach on the most, and there are other parts that we can neglect if we're not careful about it. Holiness or grace? Holiness, they're both true. They're both Bible truths that we all need to know and emphasize. But we can get over to looking at one or the other and lose the balance. If we get off balanced in the direction of holiness, then we can become legalistic and judgmental. And that's not an accurate presentation of the Bible message. If we get overbalanced in the direction of grace, then we can move to what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called cheap grace, which is, oh, God's going to forgive me, that's his business. That's what he does. I don't need to worry about it too much, about how I love, how I live, because Jesus loves me anyway. A great way of kind of pulling those together is a statement I heard. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. So, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. Holiness and grace. The chosen few are every tribe and tongue. Some emphasize preaching to just the ones that they feel like God has called them to. Others feel like God has called them for everybody, and we need to be out there with everybody. Speaking for God or teaching people to hear God. Both are aspects, you know, from what I've said before, that I think a big emphasis in my life is teaching people to hear God for themselves. But you can't neglect, if you are the one that's trained, you need to be able to correct them, and you need to be willing to speak for God if you believe that God is giving you something to say. And as a matter of fact, every sermon should be you speaking for God, but not in the sense that you are saying that I can hear from God and nobody else can. Real quick, some don'ts. Don't preach at specific people. The pastor says, this sermon is mainly aimed at Ed here, but the rest of you might get something out of listening. I would not want to be in Ed's place there. If you have a message for a specific person, go to that person. Don't preach at specific people, and especially not in a way that other people can guess who you're talking to. Don't use the pulpit to advance a personal agenda. When you stand up there, whether you have a literal pulpit or anytime you open up the Bible and stand up to speak the Word of God, you are to speak the Word of God, not your own opinions, not your own ideas. You're free to say those in other places and at other times, but not when you are delivering the Word of God. Don't use anyone in a sermon illustration without asking them first. Don't try to cram too much into one sermon. Break it up. Make it smaller chunks, more easily understood. Don't cram too much into it. I still, after 38 years, tend to do that. And you're getting examples of that in this lecture. And I figure it's okay in this lecture because you're taking notes and you've got the book to read and you can go back and look at it again. But your people listening to you don't have that opportunity. Pick the one main thing that you want to get across, and don't do other. Don't talk beyond people's ability to listen. In the American church, the stereotype is that the church starts at 11 o'clock and it lasts an hour. And so here is the pastor being carried out on the shoulders of his cheering congregation. They're so excited and happy. And the lady in the back is explaining to the man, they do it every time he finishes his sermon by noon. You don't want to get in a situation where the people cheer and yell because you finally stop talking. I had one person come to me one time after a sermon. He said, Pastor, your sermon had a great ending. It's too bad you kept talking for another 10 minutes after that. Well, I don't want to keep talking for another 10 minutes after this. We're about out of time, and I will see you next time.